Hope you're enjoying this glorious day. The day after the Kings sent the Warriors packing. Perhaps they officially ended the dynasty, which, no offense to the Warriors, great organization, great franchise. They've won multiple championships in fairly recent years. That dynasty has been over for a while.
Yeah. They've been fooling themselves for a couple of years.
But officially now, that's, you know, they were that freaking 10th seed, and the Kings send them home. So that should be it. How about this from Carmichael Dave on Twitter?
Uh-oh.
And this was last night. LOL, imagine thinking the Kings would lose to the Warriors.
No way.
Yeah.
Carmichael Dave, this dude is hilarious. And you guys calling me Carmichael Drapes or whatever, you Carmichael Kyle.
Well, yeah, because we say, hey, we think they're going to beat the Pelicans. You're like, what? Hold on. Hold on.
I'm a realist, man.
I know, you're being
I'm
pragmatic.
A realist. Pragmatic, you know? And so, you know, the thing with Carmichael Dave, man, anytime he tweets something out, just think of the opposite. Like, his feelings are, like, seriously, like, he, you know, imagine thinking the Kings are going to lose this game. Well, he probably did think they were going to lose. You know, it's sort of like opposite when it comes to him.
Alan Stiles, maybe somebody can help us with this. If I understood Alan's tweet correctly, he's complaining that the Kings didn't get much attention nationally today. And I think he's saying that, maybe I'm misunderstanding, I think he's saying that to Mad Dog, Chris Russo, was making fun of the Kings for lighting the beam after a play-in win, when it's like, dude, that's after every win.
I'm not sure that happened. And you know, I watch the morning shows.
Okay.
And he was not making fun of the Kings lighting the beam. He was making fun of the Kings for celebrating like they had actually won a playoff series or something like that. It was just a 9-10 matchup.
Uh-huh.
And so that's... he was making fun, but not for the beam,
okay,
but just the overall celebratory mood in the building.
So that guy that's oblivious, right? To the fact that this was the Kings and the Warriors, hello, and the Warriors had just knocked the Kings out last year.
Right.
Come on.
If it would have been any other team, it wouldn't have been that kind of reaction. But because it was the Warriors,
and the
we're exercising the demons, so.
The fans celebrate. I didn't see the Kings out there jumping around.
No, it's... it's a narrative that ESPN is pushing. You know, here's the thing, and I'm going to take you behind the curtains here, listeners, viewers.
Let's go.
And this has to do with everybody but us on this show or at NBC. When you watch TV and watch these shows, they're doing it for entertainment value. A lot of times they don't even believe the stuff that they're saying.
What?
They're just, yes, do you believe that? Like, unbelievable, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, Stephen A. Smith, Mad Dog, these guys are just trying to get a rise out of you. Don't fall for it. Don't be hoodwinked by these guys out there on TV.
Yeah, so just roll with it. By the way, you remember yesterday we were talking about Hollinger's awards ballot, John Hollinger, and he didn't have Domas anywhere in his top three, all NBA teams, and he didn't have Malik in his top three, six man of the year. John Hollinger, as it turns out, and it's in there, and I miss this, he doesn't have a vote. He does not have an official vote.
Well, what is he doing then?
This is what my
nobody cares about that guy. God, how is he still relevant?
He does not have a vote.
How is he still relevant? I don't get it.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140.
You lying, man.
Right.
Steven joins us, Sacktown Sports. Hello, Steven.
You always lying.
What's up, Steven?
What's up, man? Y'all caught me, man. That was funny, dude. That was good right there, man. The Pelicans, more like the Pelicans.
Hello.
If you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
If you know what I'm saying. Anyway, yeah, it's like, good game last night, man. Good freaking game last night, man. And I'm tired. I don't want to hear anything else about CJ McCollum. Oh, my God. They didn't draft me. Oh, my God. Boo-hoo-hoo. Dude, boo-hoo. Who cares? They didn't draft you. Grow up. Put your big boy pants on. Play some ball. All right?
Yes.
We got a big game on Friday. Let's get it. All right? Let's take advantage of the missing players. Let's take advantage of the minutes restrictions. We got to be aggressive, man. Got to be aggressive. I don't want to hear anything about CJ McCollum being like, they didn't draft me. Oh, I'm over it. Hey, have a good day, boys. Thank you.
Thank you, Steven. You know, Clay used to feed off that, too. And athletes, they play so many games. They feed off whatever they can. And Clay used to feed off of, they could have drafted me. And that was one of the things, frankly, I was worried about last night. It was not a factor, not, obviously.
Not a factor, but...
He scored 37 in one quarter.
But we locked him down. You know, he was shook. CJ's a different animal, though, because here's why. Let me give you some numbers on CJ McCollum, Steven, and everybody listening out there. He's only played in 3 out of 5 games against Sacramento, averaging 26 points per game against the Kings, 6 assists. Jay, are you listening?
Yes.
Guess what CJ McCollum is shooting from three-point range against the Sacramento Kings?
Probably about 48%.
Whitey, do you have any thoughts on...
I'm going to recuse myself. I don't remember, but I did look at some of those numbers today.
70% from three-point range. CJ is looking to cook.
That's what no Keon, baby. Keon, the savior. The island.
You can't keep that up.
That's right.
All right, right.
Everything that's up must come down, Drapes.
I'm just saying, you know how it goes, baby.
I don't want that CJ smoke, man. The CJ McCollum is 26 points per game against us, 70% from three, 60% from the field. The dude doesn't turn the ball over against us. 5 turnovers in 3 games. That's what I'm saying. Respect. Like, you guys getting caught up in the Zion numbers and the Zion news and everything like that. Like, CJ ain't a quality player. Like, Brandon Ingram's not quality. Like, Herb Jones. Like, they got talent on that team other than Zion. And so, throughout these last 3 hours, I've just been saying, respect the opponent, fellas.
All the numbers that CJ puts up, that even Alvarado, but especially, you know, Herb Jones, Murphy – it's easier for them to put up those numbers when defense is so concerned with Ingram and with Zion. That's just basketball.
Now, but CJ's one of those dudes, Whitey. CJ is
used to be.
He's one of those guys, man. He doesn't get his points off others.
What was CJ's stats last night in the must-win game?
Good question.
But that's a different matchup. That's okay. Against the Lakers. Well, against us, he's shooting 70% from three, Jay.
Who's the best defensive player on the Lakers in your mind? Just off the top without looking at the roster.
Off the top, man.
Prince, Torian Austin
Prince,
Reeves. Where you going? Vanderbilt,
who's not Hachimura, playing a lot. Maybe.
Who? Okay.
It's no Keon.
That's all I'm asking.
Yeah, since the All-Star break.
That's all I'm asking.
NBA guards are shooting 34.3% against this guard, lowest in the league. Do you know who it is?
Keon Ellis.
That's right.
You were doing some math over there, right there.
I saw it on there somewhere. I couldn't find it. Hopefully those numbers are right.
Keon's a hell of a player, and he's been fantastic. No doubt about that. But didn't we just see CJ come in and drop 30-something points on us a couple of weeks ago?
916. Oh, this is a text of the day nominee. CJ sounds like Drape's new guy.
Y'all see? How did you guys back me into being a Pelicans guy?
That's not your guy.
I do like CJ.
I'm a stand-up.
See, there's nothing wrong with CJ. CJ's a stand-up dude. Don't try to slander CJ McCollum right now, Jay. Come on.
Give the man
some respect.
I mean, he's a good ball player.
He's a good
I think
ball
he's better.
Player.
And you're supposed to be this. I will admit this. I think you're supposed to think you're the greatest ever, no matter what. I think... he's high on himself compared to what a lot of other people are. And with that being said, I think he's always played second fiddle. Completely okay, right?
Yeah.
Tomorrow, if Brandon Ingram's not 100% healthy, we don't know. He's going to be their number one. Would you agree with that? Or you think it's Trey Murphy?
If Ingram isn't healthy, yeah,
correct.
CJ's the guy.
And I think we will find out if B.I. is himself within the first 5 minutes of the game. Like, I think the Pelicans, it's just me, mm-hmm. I think the Pelicans are going to force feed B.I. to see what he's really capable of that night and maybe get him going, get him comfortable, get him, you know, immersed in the game. If he doesn't have it, and hopefully he doesn't, I'm hoping he doesn't, then CJ's going to have to be the guy to lead the Pelicans.
Have you guys ever seen, this is an old movie, a James Bond movie, Live and Let Die? Roger Moore.
Way back.
Yeah, that's before my time.
It starts with, it's like one of these, you know, there's a lot of influences in New Orleans, cultural influences and musical, and it's like this funeral procession, and there's like some voodoo involved, and there's like jazz. And anyway, it's really a spectacular scene. My point is, I'm thinking of having a funeral for the Pelicans.
Oh, man. No, okay. No, we're going to stop that. We're going to stop that, Mike.
Huh?
We should have had one for the Warriors today. Yeah. Is this after the game or before the game?
Oh, well, maybe not tomorrow. If not tomorrow, then Friday. Definitely pre.
Oh,
definitely
no. Pre. Yeah, I think I might be on all of this. That, but that, you might be on your own.
But
on that one.
Jay, that's how y'all sounded right now.
No,
though.
No, I'm not.
That's
saying that.
How you're sounding right now.
I'm not
now,
putting
man.
Anybody 6 feet deep yet, Drapes.
You're just saying, I mean, Kings might as well not even go. Like, just tell Adam Silver to just fly right to OKC. Forget about even going to New Orleans the way you guys are talking out here.
Well, I'm saying maybe my expectations are higher than some. I'm just saying, and I'm going to clarify one more time. If we have the horses that we believe we have, meaning Sacramento Kings, the Kings Kingdom, for to go into New Orleans with a wounded Pelicans team, I get they've jumped, they've smacked around the Kings all year. No Zion one time, understandable. I understand CJ McCollum takes it out on the Kings. I'm just saying they're wounded. And they have three or four guys who are not 100% right now.
Right.
Alvarado's
huge.
Yes, if you can't beat them now, then I don't know that we don't have the horses that we think we have.
I'm going to assume this is true. I haven't looked it up, but thank you. Diamond D and LBC. Diamond D at LBC says, Pelicans have lost their last 6 home games. Is that true?
They are not. We talked about them not being a good home team. That's for sure. I mean, 21-20. Was it at home? I got it right here, Whitey. Let me see.
Compio points out Ingram wasn't moving in yesterday's game. Yeah, and I don't blame him. He's just, he had the bruised knee, and he's trying to come back because his team needs him, and he's not there yet. And they try to, you know, massage a little bit, sugarcoat it. Mm-hmm. Oh, his timing. He doesn't have his timing yet. Well, it sounds like he's really not ready to play.
They have lost their last 6.
How about that?
But that, dude, it's neither here nor there. That does not matter. That does not matter. Don't whoever brought that up on the YouTube chat, delete that, please, because that has no bearing on anything. because the Warriors had won 17 of their last 21 road games. Mm-hmm. If we just going to go off of stats like that, we might as well not play the games. We might as well play micro league basketball here and let the computers run the simulations and everything.
Well, I'm just saying. Yesterday, you said that the Warriors had been beating the Spurs and teams like that. That's why I asked, who have Pelicans lost to in the last 6? I know they lost to the Lakers twice.
They lost to the Lakers twice.
Mm-hmm.
The Spurs,
okay,
bad loss.
That's right.
You know, Magic, good team, right?
Yes.
Suns.
Good team.
Celtics.
Good team.
There you go. I mean, come
on. So that's
50-50. Yeah. And we know the Lakers are a bad matchup for them.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? Yeah. So let's not act like they done lost to Charlotte, Detroit,
Washington. Well, I heard what you said, they lost to the Spurs.
Denver just lost to the Spurs last week.
They did.
Denver just lost. Don't eat. See, man, you guys, man. The problem is.
I'm on your side with this one now.
Bro.
Hold
the
on,
problem
Drake.
Is you guys get your sports takes from the computer and the laptop instead of watching the games,
no, I got
Whitey.
It from, I got
instead
it
of
the
watching
chat.
The games and seeing the eye test.
I got it from the chat. That's right. The Kings didn't want to address the elephant in the room. We're back with that.
All right, man.
Drive guys on Zach. Great question here on the chat. Great information on the chat. From DangerMan64, is Draper a secret Pelicans fan? I don't think so. I don't think it's a secret anymore.
You guys are backing me
it's
into
a
corner here. Not at all. I just respect the game of basketball unlike these guys. You know what I mean? I respect the opponent. I know anybody can beat anybody on any given day. And so these guys just want the Kings to fly right to OKC, and you still got to go to New Orleans and handle your business. And I'm saying, let's just not all of a sudden look ahead to Sunday. We need to handle what happens Friday with this Pelicans team that's going to be hungry for a win.
If we were doing Pelicans radio, we'd be trying to, you know, hold it together because all of a sudden they're dealing with a rash of injuries. And that doesn't guarantee anything, of course, for the Kings. But Jay just sent us a video. You looked at it. I looked at it. Of Alvarado. Some people saw it. We were not able to see it when it happened because we were at the game last night. He sprained his ankle twice last night.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's a big part. So you're saying he's down.
Well, I guess Willie Green's going to
play, but
you
he's
know,
banged up.
Alvarado on a sprained ankle ain't Alvarado. And I know he'll play hard, but you know, it's a speed
guy. So
what
are we discussing? What are we saying?
We're just saying the Kings have a wonderful opportunity.
No, I told you.
We're saying the Kings
you're smoothing it out.
Have
you're
a great saying. Opportunity that has fallen out of the sky.
Is that what you're saying, Jay, that they have a great opportunity?
No, I'm saying something different. I'll let Mr. Gleason. I'm saying that they should win. I'm saying it's going to be on my plate. If they go to New Orleans and take a loss, I'm disappointed. I expect more. I expect more from our all-NBA guys.
I'm with that.
I expect the Keegan that we've seen that, you know, now he might not hit the shots that he did, but I'm expecting him to play. I'm expecting to see that type of intensity. I'm expecting to see good defense. And if you go down there and you flop against a 75% team with no Zion, with the hurt Brandon Ingram, with the hurt Jose Alvarado, then I'm also saying, you know, look, I get
then
the Pelicans are
crippled. The
there it was. The kryptonite to the Kings are what the Pelicans have. But then post that, we need to have some conversations because we're not as far as we think we are.
I just think I've seen enough basketball to know that anything is possible.
Of course.
That, I agree.
You know, it might be the Najee Marshall game on Friday.
And you so, act like this is the Harlem Globetrotters going against the Generals.
That's just the way you
man.
Guys are sounding, bro. Like that the Generals have no shot. The Pelicans have no shot because of
I'm
all their injuries.
Not calling them the Generals, Drake.
No, that's how you sounded, though.
I'm
like,
saying,
we're the Globetrotters and going against
no,
the Generals.
No. I'm saying the Pelicans are wounded.
Vulnerable.
They're right there for the taking for the Kings. And if the even if you get night, will you agree to this? If the Kings play 80% of what we've seen against the Warriors, they should beat the Pelicans.
Compio says a fox knows nope. when its prey is wounded.
80%, Jay?
Yeah, they played fantastic yesterday, did they not?
They
Drake?
Did. They played did. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Each game is his own thing,
very
man.
Styles it's, make fights.
Yes, it's, mm-hmm. it's no carryover or anything like that. There's, you know, I just know I'm not booking the flight to OKC just yet. I'm a wait. I'm a wait till Saturday or
question.
Late Friday night.
Are you feeling better about the Kings' chances
of course.
Friday night than you have? Than you have
yes.
since the plan started.
But you know what I'm doing though, Whitey. I'm trying to hide my excitement. I'm trying to temper my excitement. Trust me, on the inside, I'm like, oh, my God, Zion's
and
out.
You wonder why we yes. call you Carmichael Drapes.
Is that what he does? Is that his thing?
That's what he claims. Something
darn it.
Like that.
No,
something
but I'm just
like
saying,
that.
I know what's at stake here, and I know the opportunity is there, and maybe I have been talking to Carmichael Dave too much. Maybe I'm preparing myself for a potential fall, and I don't want it to be that hard, that big of a fall. Because usually I'm the one up there. I'm usually
yeah.
with you.
Yep.
But on this one, because they've beaten us five times, because they go into the game confident against us, I'm worried about this matchup.
It was interesting last night when Coach Brown was talking about the game, and he was more subdued because it was like a satisfied. You know, sometimes coaches are, and he was just like, yeah, we were really good tonight. Because also they knew we got another game we got to play. But when he talked about the game Friday, he says, like, he talked about we came out with so much energy and effort and defensively we were connected. And he said, we have to do that at the start of the game Friday.
Mm.
You know, he recognizes that. He recognizes they have this chance. But if they get off to that slow start like they did the last time the Pelicans were here, then you may be squandering this opportunity. So it's like, yes, it was great. We have to do that again.
Here's the thing, Whitey, and I agree with you. Same way we said we have to beat Detroit. I mean, this is same way we said against Dallas, it's a must win. I'm with you. We got to win this game with no Zion, with Ingram banged up, with Alvarado banged up. We got to win this.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, oh, well, they will because the coach says they will. I just think it's interesting that the coach is like begging his team, please.
That's the way we got to be.
Have this chance.
Right. Right.
We have to come out and play this way like we did
yeah.
against the Warriors.
That's the recipe, right? Mm-hmm. And it's hard to bottle that up. And I'm hoping what we saw last night, the light bulb will come in on guys' heads that, you know what, we can't take possessions off. We got to be engaged in every possession. And so we'll see come Friday. It's going to be a tough matchup. But if they play like they did last night, yes, they can beat the Pelicans. No doubt about it, they can beat the Pelicans. But I'm still not 100% which Kings team is going to show up.
Of course not.
It's not all about the Pelicans, guys.
See, that's where Jerry Reynolds is, too.
Right.
Like, this team.
Yeah. I hope and I think, but I don't know.
Okay, what do you guys think it's going to take to beat the Pelicans? Like, I don't think what we saw yesterday, I don't think it takes even that much to beat this Pelicans team that's coming up. What do you guys think it's going
to
take?
They just have to hold their own on the glass, which they've done in a couple
that's
games.
That's tough against the Pelicans.
Yeah, there are two games they got destroyed, but in two of the other games, they were competitive. They got to take care of the ball, and they have to make the Pelicans feel them defensively, if not to the extent that the Warriors did last night, but somewhat similar. I think that's where, unless they just, you know, it's basketball. Sometimes everything goes in. Unless they have one of those nights where everything goes in, they have to win with their defense, which is how bizarre is that? We're talking about the Kings.
Yes.
But that's how they won last night.
And honestly, and let me know what you guys think about this. If Zion's not able to go, Ingram's banged up like we're talking about, are we giving CJ the Steph treatment in terms of defensively? Like, let's look at the recipe for the Pelicans to win. It's probably CJ going off or Ingram, because I don't think, you know, as much as I like Herb Jones, he's not going to get you 25 or 30. That's just not his game. And so if you can limit a CJ, stop him from going off for 35 or 40, same thing with Brandon Ingram, then I think you have a really good shot. And so do you put your focus on CJ, giving him the Steph treatment?
I don't know that I have to unless he, you know, what do you think? Unless he starts making shots like he did the last time I played them. Given how much he struggled, I don't think I want to risk leaving. Which one of them was it, Jones or Murphy, the last time they played here? Just bombs away.
Murphy.
And he was open from three, like, all the time. So I don't want to overcommit to defending CJ if I'm going to leave him open.
Leave him
like
open.
That.
Yeah, it was Murphy. He had 27 against us.
And if CJ goes off and I got to adjust, then I will.
CJ had 9 threes against us last time.
Do you believe, Drapes or Whitey, do you think CJ can lead this team to a victory over the Kings? Personally, like, do you think he can go off of 45?
Not without, and we don't know about Ingram, but if Ingram's not playing and Zion's not playing, I don't think he can. I mean, it could happen, but I think it's unlikely.
I think for one game, yes. Dude, I think one game anybody can have a great game.
True.
Like, yes. And so I'm going to respect him, Jay. That's what I'm talking about. On one game, I'm going to respect CJ.
When we come back, interesting things De'Aaron Fox had to say about the Warrior Dynasty and the Kings' role in sending it 6 feet under. Next here with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. YouTube chat, comment of the day nominee here from Compio. Your guy Compio.
Yeah, what do you got?
Actually, you know, he's kind of taking a few shots at you today, which surprised me.
It's like a brotherly relationship, you know?
Yeah. Compio says, listen up. I'm riding with the Kings this Friday. I don't care if Zion, Ingram, Pistol Pete, or any other player suits up in a Pelicans uni. He says, Kings 119, Pelicans 102.
Sacramento.
How about that?
Man, if we score 119, I'm with you on that, Compio. That's a lot of points for this Kings team to score against that great defense. But I'm with you, man. Trust me, I need the Kings to win. I ain't ready for this thing to be over, Whitey.
I know.
I need a couple more weeks of basketball.
What do you make of this comment, Beamer, Beams, or Beamly? He says, Keegan is very similar to B.I. in some ways. I hadn't thought a lot about that. That's interesting.
I don't think so.
I think I'll go with him on some way. Overall, you know, he's just not the scorer that Ingram is.
Well, if that's the case, because if I'm correct, you just said Ingram is Kevin Durant light or whatever. Does that mean Keegan is Kevin Durant light? You know what I mean? Like a descendant of Kevin Durant
calories.
Too?
No calorie KD.
Nah, see, I don't see it. That's why I don't see it.
His offensive game is just not there yet?
I don't think so. I think they're just different builds, too. Yeah. They're just different.
Yeah. I just hadn't really thought about it.
Okay.
Thank you, Beamer, Beams, or Beamly. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Akash joins us. Hey, Akash, how are you today?
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call. I'm actually calling in today because I wanted to admit to you guys that I was wrong. I remember calling in, Drapes. I don't think you were here that day, but I called in on leap year, February 29th. And I remember saying that if the Kings played a legacy franchise, the Lakers or the Warriors, they would lose. And last night, I was clearly proven wrong. But hey, let me tell you guys, I'm happy. I'm happy to be wrong for once. So I was there at game 4 last year when Barnes missed that shot. So seeing everybody get over the hump yesterday was the best. And one last thing, just the national media, they're dissecting them, the Warriors, like old dead body, like we used to back in science class, right? Dissecting every narrative, every single narrative, Draymond suspension, right? Clay putting up the four fingers. I love it. Let the national media cover them. We got ourselves here locally, and, you know, all focus forward towards the Pelicans.
Thank you, Akash.
Akash, good call, man.
And how about that? A guy who calls himself out. Hey, guys, I called you months ago.
Right.
I said something. I was wrong.
I thought he was going the other way at first. Uh-huh. I was like, what, do you want a cookie? And then he said, nope, I was wrong. And
well,
I was happy to be wrong.
You would never do that. You would never call in if you were wrong.
What? I always admit when I'm wrong. It just doesn't happen very often, you know?
I see. I gotcha. He mentioned the Warriors last night after the game. You know, it was funny because some of the Bay Area media wanted to ask Mike Brown about, oh, the Warriors and the dynasty, is it over? And, you know, the Kings didn't really want to talk about that a lot. But somebody, and I think it was Jake Gaudin, asked De'Aaron Fox. And I was prepared for De'Aaron to say, oh, you know, I don't know. But this was a really interesting answer from De'Aaron Fox on whether or not the Warrior dynasty is done.
Oh, that's the question, man. I don't know. I don't know. That's a, obviously, I think they're, dynasty started in, what was it, 15, 14? I was a sophomore in high school, man. So I was a sophomore in high school watching them win championships, and then they actually won the championship my first year in the league. Then they won a championship my fifth year in the league. So we've been watching this team for a long time, and I think they've been great for the sport. They've been great for the basketball world. Obviously, you see the value of the Warriors skyrocketed in the 2010s, but I can't answer your question. I don't know, but man, I've been watching. We've all been watching this team for a long time. So, if it is the end, you know, it is what it is. I'm glad we were able to beat this team at this moment. But they've definitely had a hell of a run. If this is the end,
I thought that was a really cool answer. Him to go, man, I was in high school when they started this run.
Right, and you got to give them their respect, right?
Yes,
I mean, they had a tremendous run, and you know what's interesting about the Warriors' run is the 2022 championship really cemented it. Like, think
about
that.
That was the one that stands out.
That's the one that stands out, right? Where it's like they weren't favored. You know, people thought they weren't going to get it done, and they actually did. And to go from a three-time champ to a four-time champ, you know, that puts, you know, Steph right there with LeBron James, you know? And so that win over the Celtics is the one that stands out. Somebody, interestingly, Jay, is this funeral music or is this
new edition? Is this the end?
Is this the end? Somebody said, what would Steph Curry's career look like without Kevin Durant? That's an interesting question right there.
Well,
right?
He still was the first unanimous MVP before Durant got there.
Yeah, but you don't get the two titles, maybe. Like, I could argue Cleveland was better. You take Durant off, like, LeBron may have two more titles.
Maybe. I just don't know what the point of that is. I mean,
what's the point of anything, Whitey?
Steph,
what are we doing?
Steph Curry won four titles, one before KD got there. Then they won 73 games. They lost. And then they won one after Durant was there. When Durant was there, to me, it was crystal clear Durant was the best player on the team.
Yes.
But Steph won two without him. So, yeah, he wouldn't have four, but he'd have two. And he'd still be the greatest shooter of all time. And that 22 championship was the one that cemented Steph's legacy, because that's where in game four, when they were down 3-1 in Boston, where he did what all his critics said, well, he could never just put the team on his back. And he did it in that game, and that changed the whole narrative.
Yes.
And Kevin Durant had nothing to do with that.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. You know, his career might look a little different, though. And so, you know, I look at their dynasty, if we want to call it that. It was a nice run, but it's over. You know, as the song says, is this the end? Yes. They're done, right?
I mean, they don't seem to think so. If you listen to him, oh, we want to bring Clay back.
It's like, bring him back.
Bring him back. Go for it.
Thank you.
Like, where is the improvement in this team going to come from then? Are you asking more out of Kuminga? Are you asking Trayce Jackson-Davis all of a sudden to play more than 10 minutes in an elimination game? Pajimski was a non-factor. If I'm them,
I agree with you.
I'm looking at the rebuild right now.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and Mad Dog talked about this on ESPN today. Look at all the dynasties. Do you want to be the Celtics of the 80s? And then sure, they had some bad luck, obviously, with some of the deaths. Or how about the Celtics of the 2008-9 Celtics? You traded away Pierce, Garnett, and Allen. That ultimately netted you Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart.
Here's the bottom line on the Warriors and their future. And Bonte said this. You got Joe Lacob paying a ton of money for this team right now. Ton of money, well into the luxury tax. He's not going to do that for a team that can't get out of
right,
the plan.
Right,
he's just not.
That's a waste of money.
Yeah.
Right? It really is. And so that leads me to believe, why would you pay Klay Thompson $20 million a year to come back?
Right.
Unless, you
exactly.
know, it's like, and I forget who we had on yesterday. They were saying, if I was talking to somebody, if you can get Klay for 2 years, $50 million, great. If it's 2 years, $80 million that he's trying, if he's trying to get anything 30 or more, not at all. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. We'll see, man.
I think we know. It's just a matter of time and what they're going to do. But Steph's going to be there as long as he wants to be there.
Yes. And what's interesting, and you tell me about this. If this was LeBron James, what would people be saying today?
LeBron would be gone already.
Would he?
I mean, hasn't he
to another
that?
Team?
Yeah,
but
so
I'm
that's
saying,
what he's done.
Well, but when it's time to actually end, like, I don't think he's going to jump ship from the Lakers. So let's say they lost in the play-in and their season was over. I think Steph is getting a pass for what's happening with the Warriors. Not saying it's his fault, but he's being held to a different standard than LeBron James. Mm-hmm. I think LeBron's held to a much higher standard than Steph.
Yeah, because LeBron's a front court player and he's bigger and he's stronger and... Yeah, but I think that's fair. I think you're right, but I still think it's fair.
Like, this is the end of Steph Curry's dominance on the playoff stage. Man, we might not see the Warriors advance deep into the playoffs anymore.
Right.
It's crazy to see a legend go out like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When we come back, we'll wrap things up here. Look again at the fact that it's those guys again for the Kings. It had to be the Pelicans next year with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. All right, Drapes, I will read the chat comment. Some of these I know you've already seen, maybe all of them. And you want to give us a grade or a score, like a letter grade or a score 1 to 10?
I'll give you a 1 to 10.
All right. BCH Custom Cabinetry. Bricks are made of clay with a K.
7. I'm going to give it out a 7. That's not bad. It's not solid. You know what I mean? I'm not going to clip it and save it and use it on the broadcast tomorrow or anything like that, but it's okay. It's good.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's the only one we
have. Is that the only one?
There's a lot of comments, but that's the only,
that's the only way you want to
agree. That we have currently. Manny, too legit. 6 in a row can't happen. 6 in a row, which would be, you know, the Pelicans trying to win 6 in a row against the Kings. 6 in a row, Manny, too legit says, can't happen.
I like that. I'm with him. I'm with you guys. Just from a personal pride standpoint, right? I'm not talking about Zion being out. Just the wrapping my head around the fact 6 in a row to these guys, the Pelicans.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now, if you're playing the 86 Celtics or the 96 Bulls or something like that, I get it. But the Pelicans, who would have thought that the Pelicans coming into this season would own you with 6 in a row possibly?
The end says, I think Keegan was a more advanced long-range shooter than Tatum's year 2. Somebody said,
"Please don't."
Somebody
do
said, "Oh, it's not really so much that Keegan's like Ingram; he's more like Tatum." That has been
please don't do
bandied
this.
About.
Please
on
don't
the
do this.
Chat.
Please don't. Why are we doing this? Why are we?
Keegan is more Tatumish. Says the end.
Why are we doing this? Jason Tatum, pretty much from day one, was elite. Look at his numbers. As a rookie, 43% from 3, 37%. It's interesting when you talk about Tatum too, Whitey, because Tatum sort of had the Peja Stojakovic syndrome.
Hmm.
And so this offseason is going to be huge for Keegan. He went from 15.7 points per game to 23.4 points per game his third year.
No, Jason I'm sorry, we're talking Tatum.
Tatum went from 15.7 to 23.4. But I will say this. Tatum, to me, has the temperament to be the man. Like, he walks on the floor, He thinks he's the man.
And wasn't he groomed from the time he got there? They were grooming him to be the man.
Yes, yes.
And Keegan's not really. They right. want. They think he'd be a great player.
Right.
But he's being groomed to be
one of. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think they selected Tatum to be the face of the franchise. I don't know if we selected Keegan to, because we already got De'Aaron Fox as the face of the franchise. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So Keegan may ascend to be more Jaylen Brown, number two, than Alpha, the best player. Mm-hmm. I don't know, though. That's placing a lot on that dude, though. Calling him Jason Tatum?
Yeah.
You know, Jason Tatum went head-to-head with LeBron James his rookie year. You know what I mean? Like, he stood up against LeBron. And so I'm not gonna put that kind of pressure on my young
fella. I agree
like
with
that.
You. I think you're right for what that's worth. But I also understand how a Kings fan, looks at what happened last night and says, whoa, right?
Yeah.
His fans are going to fan.
But and Tatum has a better handle with the ball. Like,
yes.
Look at Keegan's number. Keegan's three-point shooting is what sets him apart. He had 8 threes. Tatum was never early on a high-volume three-point. He was immediately a three-point score, three-level scorer. Could shoot the three, get to the mid-range, get to the basket as well. I think Tatum was a little more advanced than Keegan.
Yeah, and they got to a point with him where they actually, to an extent, run the offense through him.
Right, exactly. Yeah, he's you know, the straw that stirs the drink there.
Yeah.
I get it. We want to, you know, how about he just be Keegan Murray? Like, just be the first. You know, I'd look at it, and fans may think I'm joking or think, oh, he's much better than him. If he achieves Kyle Kuzma status, I think that's pretty good. I don't think that's nothing to be sneezing about.
One of the things I appreciate about your views on this team is you've been pretty consistent in that you're one of the few people that's held Keegan to a high standard.
Yeah.
I mean, you've said that a lot, like when things aren't going well, say, hey, look where they drafted the guy.
Right, yeah. Right. When you're the number four overall pick, and I will say this, a number four overall pick usually is supposed to be the face of the franchise. We're bringing him along slowly. You know, when he has a bad game, we make the excuses. Well, he's playing good defensively. Like, if this was a rebuilding situation, let's say this was the New York Knicks and they had no hope. They drafted him number four. You got to deliver right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's no slow walking it in, maybe in year three, maybe in year four. No. And then I look at also, and maybe it's unfair of me to look at Paolo Banchero, all-star, second year. You know, I thought he maybe should have been on Team USA. And so where does Keegan fit in? Like, what's his trajectory? I think being a Kyle Kuzma, 20-plus point per game scorer, long, can defend, I think that would be great.
Was it last night, Mike Brown, I believe, was talking about, you know, Keegan, when he has these big games, he talks about the importance of Keegan becoming this player that we saw last night, and he talked about the frustration of the coaches and his teammates, and that was interesting to think, okay, so his teammate, you know, fans get frustrated. That's why fans blame, well, it must be the coaches. Well, it's pretty clear. It's just a matter of Keegan getting comfortable
right.
with his role and doing it, and when he's not, it's not just fans that are frustrated, as coaches and even his teammates.
Yes, exactly. And
because they know that he can do it.
That he can do it. And, you know, when we compare him to Tatum, the thing about Tatum, and I've talked to people about Banchero also, those guys went out and took it. They didn't wait to be served shots. They went out there and took it. And so let's see if Keegan progresses that, where he walks in next season and says, no, I'm the guy. I'm the second option, or I'm going to get 20 shots a game. He has to go out there and be aggressive and taking it instead of trying to fit in.
Thank you, Jay. Great job, Jay. I think our goal tomorrow should be that by the end of the show tomorrow, you and I will have drapes going, yeah, the Pelicans have no chance. No shot. Right?
Is that what we want? Is that really
where we going with
no,
it?
No, because if we lose, I don't want to be with you guys and everybody. I don't want Antonio Daniels tweeting at us.
That's
I heard
fine.
What
we
y'all said, Drapes. I heard what y'all said. Nah, I'm a temperate. You know, I think we'll win, yes, but it's going to be a hard-fought game.
All right, we're back with you tomorrow as we continue to get ready for the Kings' chance to get into the playoffs proper. We got CBS Sports Radio for you coming up next right here on Sacktown Sports. Have a great evening.